Thank you. The only thing that we forgot when your pastors were with us last week was to tell them to bring some of the sun and the hot water here. And we're paying it dearly because it's very cold for us. We left Mexico City and we were close to, last day we were there, we were close to 40 Celsius. And we come here and, after being in Toronto for a couple of January, we spent one January 2003, the full month, you don't complain about the weather in Toronto anymore. And I don't complain about cold weather in Mexico either, because we don't know what the cold weather is in Mexico, by the way. It's a great privilege to be us, Sandra and Steve. Thank you so much. I want to honor also John and Carol. Just recently I was in an argument, not argument, but this is a different perspective, but I want to honor you because of you stood your ground when this revival was beginning and somebody people was trying to shut it down, and you stood your ground for the Holy Spirit and for what the Lord was doing, and I know that the Lord has blessed you, but will bless you much more because of you being faithful to Him and honor Him and His presence. And this is a result of that. I think that also we, the Lord has done tremendous things in us through your ministry and through TACF. And I really love you and honor you. And also Steve and Sandra and all you guys. I mean, Toronto has been to us as well as to many people a great blessing, tremendous impact in our lives. And when we came to Toronto, we had over 20 years already in ministry. And the Lord really changed us. But the thing that really has impacted most our lives is the desire for going after more of God. I know that you can stay wherever you want. I mean, you can just be blessed with salvation and say, okay, I'm going to go to heaven. And that's a big blessing in itself. But there's much more in God. And this is what the Lord has been doing with us every day in our lives. Just keep on pushing for more of the Holy Spirit. Be able to understand more of the riches that we have in Christ. And be able to really enjoy the presence of the Father in a much deeper way. I don't want to go on before blessing mothers. For us in Mexico, our Mother's Day is May the 10th. It doesn't change. It's the same date all the time. So tomorrow is Mother's Day for us in Mexico. But I honor you, mothers. You are a blessing. None of us would be here if we were not for mothers. So we owe them a lot. I owe mine especially because I'm here because she stood her ground when my father wanted her to have an abortion. And she's with the Lord already, but she was a tremendous woman. We learn a lot from her. And I'm sure everybody has learned a lot from their mothers and their fathers as well. But anyway, go with me to Romans. I want to share something. I want to get you into a quest, the same quest we are on. I want to bring you into a position where you look for something that is much bigger than whatever you have ever dreamed or think about. Because I think there's much more in the kingdom of God than what we have known or that we have dreamed for. So I want you to just go with me to Romans chapter 5, in verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. To reign in life. This verse has impacted me a lot, but the whole thing is that if you have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, then you will be able to reign in life. It doesn't say they might reign in life. It says they will reign in life. And I think, to me, this paints a very big picture, a larger picture than anything we have ever dreamed before. To reign in life, to have authorities. The word in the Greek that is in this verse, Romans 5:17, is a word, is vasileison, which basically means to have authority. Authority as a king, to have dominion of everything that is put under your care. So basically what the word is saying is that you and I are called to reign in life, to have dominion as kings and queens over anything that comes our way. And we have been called to be kings and queens. I know that we have all seen greater miracles than our fathers did. I think this generation has seen more signs and miracles than any other generation in history. All of us have been involved in some kind of miracle. Just let me check. How many of you have prayed for somebody that is sick and the sick has recovered, has healed? We came to the right place. See? And in the past, when we begin the ministry and you ask that question, people didn't even know about what healing the sick were. You ask, how many have prayed for a sick? I say, pray for me, I'm sick. But we have seen a lot of things happening, but still, I think that there's much more than we have to go for. How much authority is there for us? Well, if you look John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater things than those he will do, for I go to the Father. How many here believe in Christ? Okay, so the expectation from Jesus is that you and I will do greater things than he did, because he went to the Father. Just pay attention to that word. He says, you will do greater things because, he said, I go to the Father. Because I go to the Father, he that believes in me will do greater things than I do. Okay? And we know that, as I said, we have seen miracles, deliverances, restoration, many, many things more. But is that all there is? Is there really the only thing we should expect is for us to be used by God in healings, in deliverances, restorations of family? I mean, this is great enough. I mean, it's wonderful. But is that all there is? Is that all that it means that we will reign in life? Or is there a possibility that there's something much bigger than whatever we have thought we can accomplish? And this is the quest we are in, looking for that higher calling in Jesus Christ that is upon our lives and your lives as well. And let me give you a little perspective on this. If you go with me to Genesis, chapter 2. This is what I call the original design of the authority of man. What is the original purpose? Verse 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And then verse 15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Now let me walk with me this. God created Adam outside the garden. He planted the garden then to put Adam inside. And then he takes Adam and says, take care of this garden for me. Cultivate the garden and keep it. Now, what tools did Adam use? What tools did God give Adam to take care of the garden? Has anybody has a garden here in Toronto? I know. How is summer for taking care of the garden? Isn't it terrible? You have to take all these tools and take care of your garden. Adam wasn't given any tools. Are you following me? But still, God said, you have to cultivate and keep the garden for me. How did Adam do it? The only explanation I have is by his word. He was following the same example that God gave him. Man was created at the image of God, so man had the authority in his words to transform the creation that God has put in his hands. That's the only explanation, logical explanation I can find for God to expect Adam to cultivate and keep a garden where no tools were given. So there was a level of authority in Adam that we still don't understand yet. But Jesus came to recover everything that was lost when Adam sinned. But in the process of Adam through Christ, there's some examples of tremendous levels of authority that we sometimes dismiss as something that was is not important, but I think has to matter to us. Let me put it this way. A man who didn't know Jesus and didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit as we know it, stood in front of the Red Sea, raised up his shaft, and the Red Sea parted in two. He didn't know Jesus. He was in a different covenant. A man who didn't know Jesus and belonged to a different covenant, and a covenant that is inferior to the covenant you and I are, stood and said, sun stop, moon stop, and the sun and the moon stopped for almost one day at the sound of his voice. There were men in the Old Testament that did wonderful things, but didn't know the covenant you and I are in with Jesus. So is there something that we're missing in the whole picture? Is there something that the Lord has been trying to tell us, but we're missing because we're too busy looking after the things that are of today instead of the high calling we have in Christ? He will reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we have been given the gift of righteousness. It is ours. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. So the calling upon our lives has to be much greater than just make it to heaven. We have to be looking at something that is much bigger than us. Because the calling, I think, is much bigger than what we have seen so far. And there's an expectation in God that you and I will walk in the steps that Jesus showed us how to walk. See, when you see the life of Jesus, we are all amazed by the miracles, the healings, the resurrections. Those were great. But Jesus controlled the laws of physics. I mean, he could walk on water as if he was walking on common ground. To be able to do that, you have to really change the structure of water. Have dominion over the elements. He could just say, still, be calm, and the storm will just quiet down. So when Jesus said, you'll do greater things than I do, I think he was not just talking about healings and deliverances, which is necessary. I think he was talking to a perspective of dominion and of ruling over the whole earth, over the whole universe, in a sense. Or at least the earth, because the earth was given for men to take care of it. But we see things happen and say, oh, gee, this is the weather. You know, this is terrible. Oh, no, you're so... We look at things and it's like, we can do nothing about it. This is the way things are. And what can we do? Much more will there reign in life those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. This is our quest, as I say. I want to bring a holy frustration to your life. That you can see your life and say, there's more. This is not enough for what the Lord has called me to do. This is inferior to the calling I have in my life. And you start pressing on for something much bigger than your biggest dream, than your biggest story, than anything you have heard or anything you have dreamed. Because the calling is to reign in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 has a couple of verses that I tend to dismiss in the past. And I felt comfortable with that. The first verse, 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 9, verse 9 says, "But just as it is written, things which eyes has not seen, an ear has not heard, and which had not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." I read this verse and said, sure, when we get there, when we get to heaven, we'll see things that eye has not seen. We'll hear things that the ear has not heard. We are going to watch for things that nobody ever think about it. But then the following verse destroy my theory, because it says, for to us God reveals them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So what it says is that the Spirit will show us things that nobody has heard about it, things that nobody has seen, things that nobody has even imagined that are possible. But it says, God has all those things prepared for us who love him. So, what is your wildest imagination? What is your more fantastic dream in terms of the move of the Holy Spirit? If you can dream it, it's possible. And beyond that, if you can dream it, there's still something even greater, more that God wants to do in your life. See what I mean? Because the things that hasn't come up in the heart of man are already prepared for God, for you. See what I mean? So in other words, if in your life you are not ruling as a king or as a queen, there's a tremendous opportunity for you to grow into somebody you have never seen. You have never heard about it. You have never even dreamed about it. And you may say, well, how can I do it? How can I get into that? By the Spirit. And this is the problem we have. Because when we share these kind of things, people start to think, okay, what do I need to do? How do I have to stand? Or what kind of prayer do I have to do? Or what kind of clothes I need to wear? We start to looking for things that we can grasp. What books can I read on this? And the problem is that it doesn't come through books, it doesn't come through ways of methods of doing things. It only comes through one person, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, go with me to John. John chapter 16. This is a familiar passage you have already read many times, I'm sure. Jesus says, verse 7, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." Three things, simple things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you have given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has convinced you already of sin. Because the sin is because they don't believe in me. So you already believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit has convicted you or convinced you of that one. But the second and the third thing are the key to ruling. The second thing is he will convince us of righteousness. And Jesus explains that and says, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more. See? Because I go to the Father. Greater things than this he will do because I go to the Father. It's the same phrase, the same thinking. Because I go to the Father, you will be called righteous. You will be the righteousness of God in Christ. And because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you are called to rule, to reign, to have dominion over anything that the Father has given in his hands. It's yours to rule. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, this is not something that you and I can think about and can convince us. Many of us are convinced of that, but there's a conviction that has to come from the Holy Spirit, from the intimacy with the Holy Spirit that says, you are what God says you are. And that is, I am as God is in this world. See what I mean? The same righteousness he has, the same authority he has given to me, the same power that he has imparted it to me. I have everything I need, just as Adam had in the past, to rule in this world. But we need to be convinced of that. Are you following me? Say, I think I understand. I'm not talking about understanding or have a mental assent, say, oh, yeah, yeah, he's right. I'm talking about something that goes deeper and says, that's who I am. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. And everything the Lord has put in me to rule and reign. The Apostle John says, children, we are now the children of God, and it still has not revealed what we are called to be. And that's true. But when it is revealed, we will see him as he is, because it says, as he is, so are we in this world. There's something in us that we have never grasped in terms of the intensity of the power and the passion that the Lord has put upon us to represent him. Not as human beings only, but as sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's what we are. And we are to represent him in the same power and authority that Jesus had. Actually, he is expecting that you and I represent the Father in a higher level of authority and of power than he had. That's why he said, greater works than this he will do. So, I told you this is a quest because we're seeing tremendous miracles. We're seeing tremendous things happening. Let me share with this, this with you. Last year, there was this hurricane season in the Northern Hemisphere. There was this hurricane class 4 that was approaching the Mexican shores. And everybody was concerned. And I remember, I was watching TV and I just felt, say, be quiet, be still. And I thought nobody had heard me because I didn't want to make a fool of myself. I don't know many people were praying of this, but the next day, the hurricane came from a class 4 to a class 1. And I almost fainted. I almost passed away. Was that my command? I'm not sure, but I tend to think it was. I want to think it was. Because this is something that I'm looking for. See what I mean? Of course, my wife noticed that. My daughter noticed that I said that. And they came, remember you said that yesterday? I said, yeah, I did. And it happened. Now, we still don't know how to get the rain out because the rain caused a tremendous problem with floodings and everything else. But we're working on that. But if you don't expect that something extraordinary will happen in your life with your words, with your authority, I make this prophecy for you. Nothing will ever happen in your life. See what I mean? If you don't expect greater things, you'll see lesser things. You're with me? Unless you expect greater things, you'll never go for them. You always stay in the lesser things where everybody is comfortable. But if you are expecting something bigger, something greater, then your passion is, I want more. I need more. There's much more, and I want all for it. Now, keep on reading, John. A little bit forward, verse 13. John 16, verse 13 says, but when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has. What does the Father have? How many things he has? Everything is his, right? So he says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he takes of mine and we disclose it for you. So, everything that God has, the intention of the heart of God is that through the Spirit, he can disclose to you and say, this is also yours. Can I pray for this person? Of course, it's part of your inheritance. Can I pray for this global warming? Of course, that's part of your calling. Can I pray for my country and change my country? Of course, that's part of the commandment. The Lord sent us to make disciples of all the nations. See what I mean? Not in all the nations. We have translated that in all the nations because the level of authority we believe we have only get us to a point that if I convert one person in one nation, I fulfill the commission. But that's not true. He said, of the nations. The whole nation. We are pushing for Mexico. We're pushing for the whole country. 105 million people to come into the kingdom. And we're not selling for less than that. Because we believe that Lord has given us a calling for the nation. Are you willing to go for Canada or for your nation? Anything less than that is less than what the Lord has called you to do. Anything less than that is bringing the glories of Christ to a much lesser level than when they are. You and I are called to be kings and queens and to rule over earth. And we tend to try to accommodate our faith, our beliefs, our power to the level the society is in, to the level the church is living with. And I tell you, this is not sufficient. At least this is not sufficient for us. This is not sufficient for the calling that the Lord has put on all of us. Everything is ours. We are his righteousness. And furthermore, he said, the Holy Spirit will convince the world of judgment because the prince of this world has already been judged. Jesus went about healing everybody that was sick and destroying the works of the devil because the Lord was with him. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he destroyed all the works of the devil. Everything that is not working in society, everything that is not working in the world, everything that is wrong has to do with some kind of work from Satan. And we tend to accommodate that and say, well, this is normal life in 21st century. I say, no, this is not normal. At least not in my kingdom. See what I mean? It has to matter to you that you were called to rule in a kingdom that is much greater than any of the kingdoms of this world. The word says that Jesus is expecting until all his enemies are put under his feet. But that is the job of the church. See what I mean? He is our head. We are his body. His feet are our feet. But if you and I don't stand up and take the authority we have and rule as kings, the devil can still destroy families, destroy countries, destroy everything he can destroy.
We cannot just sit down and say, well, in a few more years I'll go to heaven and that's okay. Everything will be fine then. I don't have to worry anymore. I pray that my kids will stand until they get to heaven again. That's not the calling. That's not the expectation. That's not the power that is in us. How much more will reign in life, will they reign in lives, those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? You and I have received the gift of righteousness to rule as kings. You're coming into a new season. It's not just a change of name. It's not just a change of the way people will look at you. But it could be, well, a change in the way you look at yourselves and look at the kingdom. And saying, I need more of the fire. Because the fire have today has been good up until now. But if I want to take this country by storm, by the power of God, I need much more. I need all the fire I can get. And that fire is already available for me, for you, for anybody that's looking for more of God. Anybody that really wants to move and rule as king, the Lord will reveal himself and will transform your life and make you really more than conqueror of anything. Please understand me. It will require that you go into your secret chamber and really start pouring out your heart to God and say, I need more. I want more of the Holy Spirit. What I have today is not good enough. It's not nearly enough. Your calling, I need to get closer to the expectations you had. I will do greater things than you did. I need to get there to make sure that I understand what righteousness mean. What does it mean that I am being called the righteousness of God in Christ? What kind of power is there available to me to transform this country, to transform this world? The creation is eagerly waiting the manifestation of the children of God. And I believe that is for this time. The creation was subject to vanity. And it's just waiting for men and women that will stand up and say, no more, I stand my ground. And Satan will never pass me with something that is not of God. I will push forward with the kingdom of God, and the gates of hell will never prevail against what the Lord has called me to do. This is our quest. It's not a dream. We are certain that there's much more than we have seen today. And again, I told you, as you have seen many miracles, we are living a season of miracles and of signs and wonders. But in my understanding, we are not nearly close to the tremendous power that is available to us to transform the nations, to transform the world. But it's available. It's not something that the Lord is saying, if you pray, if you do this and that, it's already available. The only thing is the Holy Spirit has to come and get you into your inheritance so that you can move freely into that. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more worthy. Nothing is more valuable than to be able to understand a bit more of the heart of God for our lives. It doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your weight, doesn't matter your height. The only thing that matters is how much do you want it? How much do you really desire it? How much are you willing to give for a gift that has already been given to you? See what I mean? How much are you willing to put forward? To say, Lord, it doesn't matter what. I will go after you until I get it. How will you know you get it? You will know. You will know. Because the elements will be subject to you. Everything will be subject to you. I tend to think that when Jesus multiplied the breads and the loaf of bread and the fish, I sometimes think, what laws of chemistry or physics or whatever he ruled over to be able to do that? I mean, it's not something that people didn't think they ate. They ate and were full. And it was 12 baskets left. How did he do it? Because if I understand through the Spirit how he did that, there'll be no hunger in the world. See what I mean? And we think, well, no, if this, if the United Nations or if this thing will do some kind of process, yeah, that's true. They can work, but you and I have available a power that is beyond our imagination to change our city, to change our world, and to bring people into the kingdom. Greater things, greater works than this he or she will do. For I go to the Father. And the Spirit will convince us of righteousness because I go to the Father. It's the same expression. Because he went to the Father, we are righteous. And because he went to the Father, we are capable. I want to ask my wife to come on. I want to close your eyes, please. I want to minister sometime. As you come into this new season, there has to be a new expectation in what the Lord wants to do. We have come to this church and we have been blessed tremendously by the presence of the Father and by the love of the Holy Spirit, by everything that the Lord has done through you and in you. But we are convinced that there's much more than you should be looking for. And I want to lead you in a couple of prayers, simple prayers. But one prayer is against your unbelief. All of us live in a world of unbelief. It's like a virus, and most of us have taken that virus in, and we begin to doubt the greater things that the Lord has. And when somebody's trying to push us further, they say, ah, no, no, that's just a theory. That's just good thinking, but I don't believe that's true. But I have to believe that whatever Jesus said, he meant it. So when he said that you will do greater things than he did, he meant it. When he said that the Holy Spirit will take the things that the Father has and will disclose it to you, he meant it. So I want to pray, and I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for my unbelief. I have put you in a basket of constraints, and I have believed that there are certain things that you don't want to do. Forgive me for that, because I understand that your calling is to make disciples of nations, and that is my calling. I renounce all my unbelief, and I declare that you are a truthful God and faithful to fulfill all your promises. And now the second prayer, I want you to pray with us before we start ministering. Please say, Heavenly Father, I receive the calling. I receive the desire to press after you. I will not leave you. I will not leave you alone until you make manifest in my life your promises, your presence, your power. I give you freedom, Holy Spirit, to convince me of righteousness, that I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I don't want a mental convincing. I want that you turn my heart on and my spiritual understanding that I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit is beginning to move. As you finish that prayer, you felt His touch. For you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Father, I ask that everyone's spirit begin to resonate with your spirit and bring conviction to our lives that we are what you say you are, what you say we are. I give you freedom, Holy Spirit. This is a place where your presence is welcome. This is a place where many have learned to listen to your voice. And I bless this place. I bless this congregation. I bless this ministry. Make them much more than what they are today. Much more. Much more in understanding. Much more in power. Much more in anointing. Sandra, there's a word that the Lord gave me for you and Steve before we came here. And there's three things has to do with the church. The three words were increase, opposition, and victory. There's going to be an increase in all fronts. Increase in numbers, increase in anointing, increase in impact, increase in reach. The whole city and the whole nation will begin to see what is happening here, and we'll begin to wonder what is going on, and we'll begin to come here to receive and to take it as they did for the nations, they will do for Canada and for the northern provinces and the northern hemisphere. It will tremendous increase. There will be opposition. You know about opposition. Don't fear the opposition. The Lord will strengthen you through the opposition. When we talk about the leadership, we talk about the whole church. You will overcome. That's the third word. You will have victory. You will not be defeated. Okay? You come into a season of great success, of great increase, and the opposition will only increase your strength to go to greater things. The whole Catch the Fire ministry will be impacted. Wow. It's not a word. It's not just a... What I feel is it's not just a phrase. It's not just a name. It's a destiny. You will catch the fire. And however the fire burns brighter, you will burn brighter. The fire will never extinguish in this house.
I have been having a vision. First, I saw different kinds of rains falling upon this place, and many of us also profit from what the Lord was giving to you. And there were all kinds of anointings raining, and sometimes, you know, we thought that we couldn't even bear it, and I several times had to ask God not to die because of the power that was coming, you know, upon my life here in this place. But I kept watching these rains coming, and they were of different colors. And to me, that's different anointings, different impartations that God gave into you. But I saw that the rain went into the ground, and they were permeable, and all those waters have been just accumulating, and there is a huge river underneath. It is a subterranean
underground
huge enormous river, and I see that it is all over this, not only this place, it goes to Canada, and I see that it has been going to the nations as well. But what I see now is that springs are coming up in Canada, and it's not going to be only Toronto, but all of it, and it will impact North America, and even all the way down, and I see you are going to laugh, but I see all the continents been impacted, and the river hasn't stopped. The rain hasn't stopped coming. It has gone underneath, and it is huge. What the Holy Spirit is about to bring is tremendous because of all these springs. And from those springs, the river, you know, that the Lord has started here in Toronto a long time ago, is going to flow again, mighty, even much better.
Amen.
And getting into many places.